Good to see everyone this morning. I trust you've come expecting to hear from the Lord. I know I did. And I'd ask you to pray for my wife. She's probably watching. Hello, sweetheart. But she was just under the weather this morning. Didn't want to run the risk of her causing somebody else to have some trouble. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that many are going to say, I did this and did that in your name. And he's going to say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. And I play golf, or I try to play golf from time to time. And I played with this preacher one day, and he was trying to tell me you could lose what God's given you permanently. And I said, he didn't say I once knew you. He said, I never knew you. If Jesus has ever known you, he will not forget you. And I'm thankful for that. It's by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we'll go to heaven or we will not go at all. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua, chapter number 5. One of my favorite Old Testament characters. I was talking on Wednesday night and I talked about Bible events. Sometimes we'll say this is a story from the Bible. And Brother McGowan, I've known him most of my life, ever since I got to know anybody. You know, I couldn't remember when I was 1 or 2 years old, people like that. But when I got up and able to remember things, I've always known Brother McGowan. Lost track of him for a while when he moved to the Yankee land of Kentucky. But anyway, we talk about stories. And when I was a little boy, Brother McGowan, if I told a story, I got a spanking, a whooping. And I promise you, I learned the difference between story and event. It was an event when I told the story, because I got a spanking. I told y'all Wednesday night, my daddy believed if you got one at school, you got one when you got home. And I was just so crazy back then, I'd tell them when I got one at school. And it dawned on me after a while that I didn't have to tell them. They didn't send a note home, said Jerry got a spanking or three licks or whatever you want to call it. So I wouldn't tell them. And then somebody, Marsha Morgan, was in my class, and she'd tell her mama. And her mama and my mama talked every day. And when I got home and daddy got home, I got a spanking. And I tried to figure that out. Well, how did that happen? And it's them old gossiping women. And there's a sin called gossiping, y'all. So I'm going to try to preach. No, I'm not going to preach on gossiping. But anyway, I want to get back to the message. Y'all know after Wednesday night I love to talk. But Joshua was one of my favorite Bible characters. Had a lot of pressure on him. Don't you imagine? He's following the great man Moses. Imagine stepping into the shoes of Moses. And God chose him to be the leader. And Moses, he's ready to go off the scene, and he calls Joshua. And God has already told Moses, thy servant Joshua will be the one that leads our people, my people. And so Joshua has the pressure on his shoulders of leading this group of Israelites. And we come to Joshua chapter number 5. And they've had their Red Sea crossing back in the book of Exodus. And they've had their wilderness journeying for 38 and a half years. And now they cross the Jordan River. And they're encamped at a place called Gilgal. And God has told Joshua the story, the event that's going to happen next. And we're going to pick our reading up here in Joshua chapter number 5 and verse number 10. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, 11 cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Chapter 6. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Father, would you show yourself strong on our behalf this morning? Lord, I can say words and shout a little bit, but only you can preach to the heart.
Amen.
So today, Lord, I ask that the real preacher come.
Yes.
Speak to the hearts of your people. And do a work in our midst.
Yes.
That only you can receive the credit for.
Yes.
And we'll be careful, so very careful, to praise you for it.
Yes.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to speak to you a little while this morning on the thought of four discoveries that Joshua makes. Joshua was a great man of God. He was one of the 12 spies. Only he and Caleb came back with a good report. And what followed was a long funeral procession for the children of Israel, waiting on people to pass, so that those who were faithful, those who were not encumbered with the spirit of defeat, could go into the land. And so now we've come to the crossing of the Jordan, and we've come to Gilgal. There's been a memorial made. And may I say this morning, if you'll read the first five chapters of the book of Joshua, you'll see that there was a memorial made so that in days to come, the children of those that did not cross the Jordan will come by this memorial and they'll say, What meaneth these stones? And you can tell them that this is where God did this or God did that. It'll be a testimony unto them. May I say today that having a church on the side of a highway in Macon, Georgia, it's not a testimony to the people of the Gilead Baptist Church, but it's a testimony unto God.
Amen.
that there is a God in heaven, that He is to be worshipped, that He is to be praised, and that every time the doors are open, there ought to be people in and out come for the sole purpose of worshiping the Holy God. And so as we come to Joshua chapter number 5, we read here that the manna ceased. In other words, God is not going to feed them manna anymore. There's no more wilderness journeyings, but there is a conquest of the land ahead. Unless we feel sorry for the nation of Israel, God has a plan for even that. And listen, when you get to the place where you're at the end of what you can do, then look to Him. Because He is always in charge and ready to do what only He can do. And as soon as we can get to that place, we can see God work. But as long as we are wanting to do it and not let Him do it, then we're still going to be on the outside looking in. And so Joshua comes to this place, this time of his life. He's been promised some things, and one of those things is that God is going to be with him. God has told him, "As I was with my servant Moses, I will also be with you." And so God has told Joshua, "I'm going to be with you, and I will lead you. I will direct you. I will keep you." And so Joshua comes here in chapter number 5, and look at verse number 13 with me. Four discoveries that Joshua makes. "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes." This is the night before the children of Israel start to march around Jericho. This is the eve of the conquest. That week of circling that great city, that walled city. And the Israelites, they're encamped in Gilgal. They're sleeping in their tents. But Joshua is not asleep. Joshua is out. Walking around, I see it in my mind's eye, he's on the side of the hill there overlooking Jericho, and he's thinking, how in the world is this going to happen? If you'll read back in the book of Exodus, God knew the children of Israel were not ready for a fight. The Bible plainly tells us that He did not lead them by the water of the Mediterranean, which would have been a quicker journey to get to the Promised Land. But He led them by the way of the Red Sea and through the wilderness. Why? Because they were not ready to fight. God knows what we need when we don't even know what we need. And we can always trust God. And Joshua, now out on this hillside, he's seen some wonderful things happen already. He's watched as those priests have stepped into the river of Jordan and the waters were rolled back. So he knows God's a miracle-working God. And as he's walking around the hillside there, minding his own business, and taking a survey of this city of Jericho, thinking, how am I going to do this? How am I going to lead this group of Israelites, these children, into this conquest of Jericho? And he makes a discovery. Look at it with me. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. The first discovery that Joshua makes is a discovery that you and I need to make if we've not already made it. What is that, preacher? Number one, that we're not alone. Joshua's out there. He knows that group of Israelites over there in their tents. They're sleeping. They're not worried about a thing. They haven't worried about a thing in a long time. Why? They've had manna to eat in the morning. They've had the blessings of having God's man lead them. So they're not worried at all. They're sleeping. But Joshua's got the pressure. He looks. He thinks he's out there all by himself. And he looks over and there is somebody around him. May I say to you this morning, we can go through this life and think we're all alone at times. That our friends have departed from us. They've seen how miserable our life is and they don't want to be around us. But if we're saved today, we're never alone. We have the Lord living on the inside of us. His Holy Spirit. And Joshua makes a discovery. He's not alone. And that is true for us today. There's never a time in our Christian life that we are ever alone. Our best friends may leave us. Our family may desert us. But God has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. We're never alone. And I want you to see that Joshua sees this man and he's got a sword drawn in his hand. Now, I told y'all Wednesday night, Brother McGowan's here today. He lived in the peach orchard, same time we did. And the peach orchard was a pretty good place to grow up in. But I never did like to fight. I still don't today. I don't like to fight. I'd rather just get out of the way. I'm not going to argue with somebody. If you want to argue, you're going to have to find somebody else to argue with. But in the day that we live in, there's a lot of people got weapons. And I'd rather get away from that crowd. I'm going to get out of their way. But Joshua finds this man with a sword drawn in his hand. And he does what I would not have done. I said, see you later, I'm going back to the tent. But Joshua goes over to him and he says this to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he makes another discovery. And it's a discovery that you and I need to make also. Look what the man says. Nay. Nay. I want to say to you, that was not the answer Joshua was looking for. He didn't like that answer. And I would not have liked that answer. When you find somebody that's got a weapon and they're pointing it at you or holding it up and you say, are you for me or against me? And they say no, you better be looking for some cover. And Joshua sees this and hears this. And he makes another discovery. Let's read the rest of verse 14. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. In other words, he said, I didn't come to be on your side. And I didn't come to be on the other side. He said, I came to be in charge. Number one, you're never alone. Number two, you're not in charge. When we go through this life, we like to think we have a little bit of control over it. But if we'll trust God and let Him have control, let Him be the lead, let us be the followers, we'll come out on the better end of everything. Joshua finds out he's not in charge. Look what he does. He fell, and Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" That's what we all need today. We just need to find out what God's wanting to do and follow Him. Number one, we're not alone. And number two, we're not in charge. You know, there's been times that I wanted to be in charge. And I've always found that things don't turn out as good. Hardly ever when I want to be in charge. It's better to follow God. It's better to let Him be the lead. Who is this man? There's people today said Jesus began in Bethlehem, but that's not so. Before ever there was anything called time, He was. Amen. And when there'll be no more time, He will still be. Amen. This is what we would call a theophany, or better yet, a Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's walking around on the hill outside of Jericho. And He lets Joshua know that He's in charge. And don't you realize today that when Joshua heard those words, a great burden was lifted off of him. Because no longer did he have to think about how it's going to happen. He has confidence in the captain. We have a captain today. Yes. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's in control. It's not Nasty Pelosi, and not President Trump, and not the Democrats, and not the Republicans, and not the Supreme Court, not the Congress. Our God is in control. Amen. And He will be in control when they are all gone. We have a great God today. Joshua said what we should say to our Savior today. What saith my Lord unto His servant? When you find out what God wants, and you get in line with what God wants, everything's going to be okay. Amen. The third thing Joshua discovers is something else we need to discover. That's found in verse number 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. Joshua finds that he's on holy ground. This is not a synagogue. This is not the tabernacle. This is a hillside overlooking Jericho. But God is there. And Joshua is there. And it's holy. May I say to you today, that you may think of your Christian life, what really matters is what happens inside these walls of the Gilead Baptist Church. And although this is a wonderful place, and I do believe that these are holy grounds, they're dedicated unto God. But the moment we step out of this building and even get in our cars and drive to our homes or drive to other places. We don't leave God. He goes with us. And we have the knowledge that wherever we are, He is. And therefore, we're on holy ground. And there are just some places that we ought not to be found. As believers, as Christians, there are just some things we ought not to go around. And we need to remember that where we go, He goes. We take Him everywhere we go. And therefore, we need to quit taking Him some places that we ought not to go. I was in the state of North Carolina, way back up in the woods, preaching. And before the service, I just thought, man, these are some big old woods here. And I asked the preacher, I said, "Y'all have any moonshiners up in here?" He looked at me and he said, "We don't talk about it." Well, I hit liquor that night. Listen, I said, you ought not to take your car with your church bumper sticker or your church car tag on the front of your car down to the ABC store. You ought to just stay away from those places.
Amen.
Why? It ought not to be named among us. Liquor's still bad. Sin is still bad. And wherever you go, you take the Lord with you if you're saved. And so, Joshua discovers he's on holy ground. In the book of Ruth, when Boaz wanted to redeem the inheritance, there was a nearer kinsman. They went to the gate, and Boaz said unto the man, "Wilt thou redeem the property that belongs to Naomi?" And he said, "I will." And he said, "Well, if you do, you got to redeem Ruth too." And he said, "Oh no, I can't do that." And so what did he do? He took his shoe off and he handed it to Boaz, because Boaz was next in line. And he said, "You can do it." What was that signifying? It was signifying his surrender. He surrendered his rights to Boaz. And the Lord said to Joshua right here, "Take your shoe off." In other words, surrender. Folks, today, we need to surrender. Listen, 1970, January the 4th, I surrendered my soul, my life, to the Lord, and He saved me. And a little while after that, He called me to preach, and I surrendered to that call. And a little while after that, I left and went to Bible college, and I surrendered again. But you know what, folks? I find right now, surrender is an everyday thing. Every day I have to get up and take the shoe off. "Here, Lord, it belongs to You. Where I walk today, I'll only go if You'll guide me." Joshua found out he was not alone. He was not in charge. And everywhere he goes is holy ground. One more discovery. Look at chapter 6. Now Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. And none went out and none came in. In other words, they're on lockdown. There's nothing happening. And look what Jesus tells him. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, look at it, Joshua. I have given into thine hand Jericho. It's yours. And the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Listen. This is before he tells him, you're going to walk around it one time a day for 6 days, and seven times on that seventh day. Then you're going to blow the trumpets, and you're going to shout, and the walls are going to fall down. He hadn't told him that. He just says, look, Joshua, I've given you the victory. May I say to you today, we've already won.
Amen.
We've got the victory. There's no reason to walk around with the mully grubs today, because Jesus has given us the victory. He looks at Joshua, and like he would probably say to Jerry, just look. Look out there. They are scared. They're shut down. They're locked up tight. There's no commerce going on, Joshua. They're just waiting to be had. Can I say to you this morning, the devil is a defeated devil. He's already lost. He's just awaiting sentencing. We've won today. There's a gospel song that says, I've read the back of the book and we win. No more living in darkness. I'll be living at home with Him. There ain't no need to worry about it if you're born again. I've read the back of the book and we win. Today, 4 discoveries. We're never alone. Brother McGowan, you're never alone. Folks, your best friends may desert you, but there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You're not in charge. Brother Allen, we don't have to worry about that. Whatever tomorrow holds, we know the one that holds tomorrow. We need to remember we have Him everywhere we go, so everywhere we go is holy ground. Be careful of what we do. That's why the judgment seat's not going to be a party or a picnic for a lot of people. It's because they've been careless with their life. And then number 4, we win. We have won. God's fought the battle and we've won. You may be here today and you say, preacher, I don't have that victory. Well, you can have it before you leave. You can know Him whom to know is life eternal. And all you have to do is acknowledge that you're a sinner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him to save you. It's not in a prayer. It's in belief. It's in trust. And He will do what He said He will do. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So trust Him. And if you're saved, then realize those discoveries, because they're as real as this book. Thank you for being so patient today. Would you stand with me?